This is a podcast from WOR. Don't rush through lunch. Take 2 hours and spend it with a friend.
Hey, Joan, I listen to your show a lot, and I really love your show.
Thanks.
You do a great job.
Welcome to the Joan Hamburg Show. Joan is New York Radio's first lady. She's got a menu for every appetite. News you can use. Today's top headlines. The biggest celebrity guests.
Sir Ben Kingsley.
I still thank God for my music here because it helps me with my accents, my ability to listen to the other actor.
And more. Pull up a chair and enjoy. Now, here's Joan Hamburg.
Welcome, everyone, to the Joan Hamburg Show. And, of course, it's a Wednesday. And that means it's a food day. And we are always happy to talk about food on days like this. And we've got a great show lined up for you. We've got all kinds of goodies. So let's get rolling. We have a big week. Not this week. Every week's a big week. But next week, Good Friday, Passover, and then Easter Sunday. But I wanted, and she's talked to us plenty of times before, as she calls herself Shiksa in the Kitchen. Her name is Tori Avey. And she is a food blogger, a culinary anthropologist. She writes books, and she explains how she married into a Jewish family and has really been assimilated. Passover, of course, one of the most important festivals, holidays on the Jewish calendar. It commemorates the liberation of the ancient Israelites from slavery in Egypt. It is a really very important traditional holiday. Families gather wherever they can. It's about celebration. It's about food. It's about renewal. Now, and I know that you, Tori, are going to do a very unusual Seder. You're doing a Passover potluck.
Hi, Joan. Yeah, actually, well, that's kind of, it's an online potluck. So I'm going to be using some of the dishes from the online potluck at my own Seder. But I wanted to open it up to a larger audience. So I invited some of my best food blogging friends to join me and contribute their recipes and ideas for Passover. And what's really interesting about it is a lot of them aren't Jewish. I tried to invite people who are not from a Jewish background to see how they would deal with the kosher laws and navigate those. So they've come up with some really creative ideas.
Which is great. And I know that which we posted is the Horosis, which, you know, for many, many years, we had a wonderful friend who has unfortunately passed away, Sally Bijou, from a remarkable Sephardic family. And we would go there, and even the kids would go crazy for the Horosis because it was very Middle Eastern. It was dates and apricots and nuts and honey. Delicious. And you have a recipe similar to that.
Yeah, well, what's really interesting is a lot of Sephardic Jewish communities throughout the Mediterranean and Middle East, they serve the haroset as a truffle rather than as a spreadable, you know. So they come in these round truffle forms, and they're usually rolled in either, you know, cinnamon or sugar or sometimes coconut. And so I went ahead and I adapted a Moroccan truffle recipe, and I posted it on my site. And it's so good. You're right. The apricots and the dates, it's such a great combination of flavors. I really like
it. It sounds incredible. So with all your friends contributing, and you, of course, who ended up really loving to cook, What are you going to serve at the Seder beside this Sephardic truffle?
Well, I've got a pretty big Seder menu. I try to do all kinds of different things every year. I mean, you always have to have, there are some things that are expected, right? You've got to have the matzo ball soup, which, by the way, Joan, I'm really curious because we had a big debate on our Facebook page the other day. Are you a floater or a sinker? Do you like the floater matzo ball or the sinker matzo ball?
I like they sink initially and then they rise to the top.
Yeah.
But my family always used club soda.
Oh, interesting.
In the matzo ball. You know where the recipes always call for water?
Yeah, yeah.
They always use club soda, and I use club soda. And, Tori, I want you to try it once because it definitely adds a lightness.
You know, I've had some readers tell me that it definitely lightens them up, so I think I'm going to try that. I do have a fluffy matzo ball recipe on my site, but it doesn't include the seltzer, so I'm definitely going to try that.
No, try that because you're going to like it. And once you do that, it's sort of hard to go back.
Yeah, I've heard that. Do you use, what kind of an oil do you use in the matzo balls? Because I use schmaltz. I know it's kind of like irreverent,
you know,
but...
So do I. And
you
I
do?
Was just
okay.
saying, you can get that. That's chicken fat, by the way, for people in the audience. And I'm telling you, you don't have to be Jewish. It's oh, matzo balls are delicious if they're well made. I do what you do. I use chicken fat. I figured once or twice a year you can do it.
You know, it's a special occasion. It's a holiday. And I'm all for just splurging a little bit. So
no, it makes it, I think it gives flavor to almost everything. And also, you know, I'll make crumbs out of matzah. Did you ever do that?
Oh, yeah, in the food processor, kind of make your
right?
own matzah meal. Yeah.
And you know what? It's really good. I mean, I don't even do it necessarily for religious reasons, but someone said, try this if you're going to make chicken cutlets.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of make your chicken the way you do it, but don't use breadcrumbs. I used to use Ritz cracker crumbs all the time, which were so yummy.
Yeah.
But don't do that. Use matzah. And today you can get any kind of matzah, right? Onion matzah, dill matzah, anything.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a schnitzel.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And really delicious.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Well, you know, a lot of people kind of kvetch when the holidays come because they're worried about the limitations that the food laws place. But I actually look at it as an opportunity. It kind of inspires me. It's like a challenge, and I love it because, you know, you're suddenly having to make new foods that you don't think about the rest of the year, you know, because you can't use the leavened grains, obviously.
Well, I notice that you already had posted your chopped liver that's made without liver. Now, it's funny because my daughter... She'll eat now, you know, sort of pounded chicken and fish, but she hasn't had meat since she was a little girl when we had a farm in Vermont.
Oh.
That was the end of meat. But she learned how to make chopped liver using string beans and nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what you do for that.
Well, actually, that particular recipe was part of the potluck, so it was contributed by my friend Andrew, who has a blog called Eating Rules.
Mm-hmm.
And that he was blogging about a recipe from your friend, Arthur Schwartz.
Oh, so
that's actually
what was
Arthur Schwartz's recipe. It's got mushrooms and nuts in it, so it's actually, it doesn't have any pitney oat in it. So
gotta try that.
Yeah, it's really good for Passover. I've had a few readers try it, and they flipped over it. They love it. But you can't go wrong with Arthur Schwartz. And I noticed that you're doing a cruise with him, and I'm so jealous about that.
I'm telling you, Tori, you should come with us.
I might have to join you guys because that looks amazing.
It's a very, you know, this year we thought with all that's going on in the world, we want beautiful, simple, safe, and not too long.
Yeah.
And Arthur is going to, you know, grab Italy by the boot.
Oh, wow.
And we're going to wander through, and we're going to all the great places on the French Riviera. We've got a lot of goodie ports.
So much fun. And Arthur Schwartz is one of my Jewish cooking heroes. I mean, he's amazing.
Arthur is amazing. Now, do you make brisket?
Oh, of course.
And
yeah.
What is your brisket recipe?
You know, I change it up a little bit every year. I've actually got a new one that I worked out this year that I love. It might become my forever brisket.
What is it?
I'm going to be posting it soon. It's got a base of, I kind of blend together tomatoes, lots of garlic, some cider vinegar to give it a little bit of tartness.
That's good. I never thought of that. Yeah.
And some brown sugar for a little bit of sweetness. Not too much. You want just a little touch of sweetness. And then I caramelize those, a ton of onions and some carrots and celery, and then you just slow cook it at 300 for hours, and it just becomes like butter. I mean,
Sounds so good. You know, that is not one of my favorite food groups, but I'm the only one.
Yeah.
And we make it every year because everyone loves it and looks forward to it.
You know what? I'm generally throughout the year, I'm not a huge meat person. I try to avoid meat in general just for health reasons.
Or cut it back a little.
Yeah, exactly. But during Passover, you know, if a brisket is well cooked slowly and
where it melts, you'd eat it.
Yeah, it's really good.
I know. Now tell me about your chocolate crackle cake.
Oh, that's a yummy one. Yeah. I developed that actually last year. You know, flourless chocolate cakes are such an easy dessert to do for Passover because, you know, they don't contain the flour, but they always feel very heavy to me. So I thought, what's going to happen if I add some almond meal, you know, some pulsed, very finely ground almonds, and it lightened up the cake, and it kind of surprised me. It crackled on the top. It made a really pretty design. So I ended up making it several times because it's gluten-free, and I have some friends who are gluten-free. Mm-hmm. So they really enjoy it. It's a lighter version of this flourless chocolate cake, and I like to serve it with a raspberry coulis, delicious sauce. You can decorate the plate with it and garnish it with a little mint and a raspberry, and it's just so festive. I love it.
And do you do fish?
I do. I always try to have a fish option because, you know, a lot of people don't eat meat. So.
What about gefilte fish? You don't bother with that?
Oh, sure. You have to have gefilte fish.
But how do you make it?
I do. I make it. Yeah, we have a family recipe. It's a little bit labor intensive, so I've hesitated to put it on my site.
You grind the fish yourself. See, here in the middle of the city, almost every good fish store will grind the fish for you.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I like to grind it myself. I don't know. There's something about getting into the process of it that makes me feel close to the heritage and, you know, the family background. Mm-hmm. So
you grind when the fish, it's whitefish, pike?
Yeah, yeah. It's sometimes a combination. It depends. It's whatever's fresh and working at the store.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And, you know, it's tasty. I mean, some people aren't huge fans. But, once a year, I like to put it on the table.
Yeah, you know, I love it, as long as it's sort of not too sweet, but very mild, almost like a French quenelle.
Agreed.
And it's poached. And I haven't had it yet, but a restaurant called Kutcher's, which is the name of a big Catskill Mountain resort, and the son of that family with a famous restaurateur has opened Kutcher's, which is getting rave reviews. Next time you're here, you have to try it. And, you know, there's a resort 90 minutes from Manhattan in the Catskill Mountains, and here it is in the city downtown. And anyone who's had there, they make gefilte fish, but they use halibut. And people say it is beyond delicious.
Now, I've never tried it with halibut, but it makes sense. It would work. So.
Me neither.
Interesting.
So it's something for us to experiment with.
Yeah. I also heard in New York there's a new restaurant that opened called something like Gefilteria or something like that. I don't know. It's all gefilte fish or something.
You know what?
Like that.
You're kidding. I have to check that out. I don't know about that. That would be fun because, you know, we do tastings on this food show all the time.
Yeah.
And I always say to our audience that everyone, it's not limited to one particular religion.
Sure.
And I always say, if you've never tried gefilte fish, you have to try it.
Oh, yeah.
And especially if it's really made well. Well, I'm going to look for that one.
Yeah. You know, the thing I love about Passover and the Jewish cooking and the holidays, particularly Passover, is that it's an invitation to bring in people from all faiths to really kind of start to understand our story and our background. Because, you know, I'm a convert to Judaism, so this is a really fun opportunity to bring people in from different backgrounds and introduce them to these foods that they probably have never tried, many people, you know.
Absolutely. Well, you're doing a good job. Thank you, Tori. Have a lovely holiday. We look forward to talking to you again. And tell everyone where your website is.
Beshiksa.com. So.
Okay. All the best to you. And I look forward to talking to you soon. Today is a food day here at WOR. And we are going to take just a quick break to bring you to Joe Bartlett, the WOR news director, because today's a really important day, an initiative called Hiring Our Heroes from NBC News, U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and radio stations like WOR trying to get veterans back in the workplace. And this is all taking place on the USS Intrepid to reduce the very high unemployment rate among veterans and their spouses. And it's very unusual because this group of veterans coming out of Iraq and Afghanistan are the best trained, and it's very important. So, Joe, tell me what's going on.
Well, this is actually, Joan, it's an excellent opportunity for veterans to find work. What NBC has done is a tremendous thing here because there are a lot of employers that are here who are hiring. And we're talking about good jobs, people like JetBlue, Aramark, Bank of America, GameStop, J.P. Morgan Chase, AT&T, Citibank, even the TSA is hiring. I was just with a Navy veteran who got a little impatient and had an opportunity to speak to one of the recruiters here, who just bolted away from me. But here's a guy who served in the Navy for 6 years. He's got electrical engineering experience, and he's having trouble finding a job.
I know. It's pathetic.
And it really is a shame that, you know, the people who have dedicated for this, for instance, this man, 6 years military service, he should be able to come out and find
well
work
trained.
And not struggle.
And trained. I mean, with a real skill.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he is an electrical engineer. Since he hasn't been able to find work, he's gone back to school. He's going to get an MBA. He wants to get into the business side of things. Very respected guy. And I mean, this is a great opportunity for someone like that. And you just think hundreds of thousands of men and women are in the same boat trying to find jobs. They've done their duty, and it's just tough out there. The veterans' unemployment rate, as you probably heard, is upwards of over 12%.
No, it's terrible.
And that's unacceptable.
Not at all. And as you say, many of these people really are trained in a lot of things that we need. Well, also tell me, the people who are there with you, all these big companies from JetBlue on, they have actual jobs. They're not just there to look nice, right? They really have opportunities.
That's a part of the deal. To be here and to talk to these people, you have to be hiring. NBC nationwide is hoping to put to work 500,000 vets. Wouldn't that be great?
It would be great. It would be great. And it, you know what? If that really can happen, that's going to have a serious impact on the immediate economy, which is essential.
And there are jobs out there. But, again, one of the difficult parts here is even here where only veterans are going to be hired and where veterans have an advantage, the competition is steep. I mean, I've walked through the booths. Each one has stacks and stacks of resumes.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not a slam dunk for a lot of these guys. And, again, it's just they've got a little better shot because these employers are going to hire veterans.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed. Thank you, Joe Bartlett, our WOR news director, reporting from the deck of the USS Intrepid, a major event hiring our heroes, Chamber of Commerce, NBC, and we're very happy to support this. It's important. Thank you, Joe. We'll see you in just a bit. Okay, so we'll do that. Now, as you know, today is a food day right here at WOR. And while we wanted to catch Joe while he was on the deck of the ship, it's really essential. And by the way, Natalie told me that when we were talking to Tori about her recipes for Passover, a not born Jewish converted when she married into a Jewish family, turned out to be a great cook and chef. And her recipe is her truffle, which is horosis, but delicious with dried fruit and nuts. It's right on our website. Then before we leave you, I'm going to give you a couple of restaurants you can go if you're not making Passover at home. We'll do all that, and we've got a lot of show coming up. So stay tuned. I'm Joan Hamburg. Well, who doesn't love chocolate? And of course, chocolate is big news because in medical news recently, they told us that chocolate is really good for you, really good. They've done long-term studies, and it's got every good thing that people want. So along in the chocolate scene comes a young woman called Aditi Malhotra from a restaurant family, and she comes to New York, and all of a sudden, a very famous Parisian chocolatier, Christiane Vautier Le Concept, opens on Broome Street, which is quite incredible. 254 Broome Street, which is right near Orchard. And everyone is talking about these incredible truffles and all the exotic chocolates, milk, dark, white chocolate clusters of almond, puff rice cereal, orange peels. And of course, these truffles coated in coconut powder, in passion fruit, in lime, in raspberry, hazelnuts, coated with luscious dark chocolate, and something very original. In France, you can try it, but we don't see it here too often. Passion fruit and mango white chocolate jam. So I'm curious, Aditi, you grew up in a restaurant family, right?
Yes.
It was your dad?
My grandfather came here during for the World's Fair in 1967, and he opened up a little Indian food stall, and it became so popular that he wanted to open up a restaurant. So he opened up his first restaurant on Park Avenue, I believe, in 1975, and it was open for 35 years.
And that restaurant?
And it's called Akbar.
Which we all know and ate in and forever.
That's so exciting. Well, now you will have to come to our location. We have one in Edison, New Jersey, and then one across
from the restaurant.
Yes, the restaurant.
Yeah.
And then one across from the Roosevelt Field Mall in Long Island.
Yeah, which is amazing. You know, there's nothing like these great stories of families who come and start this. So you grew up. And even though I'm sure your family, because it's the hardest business in the world, it really is, your family probably thought you should do something else, and yet you couldn't.
I couldn't. I couldn't stay away. I actually worked down here for a little bit at a law firm, and I couldn't
Enough.
Stay away from getting my hands dirty and being in the kitchen.
So where did chocolate come from, though?
I trained with Christian Vautier in Paris for a little bit.
One of the most famous.
Yes, and I absolutely fell in love with the product and using the materials and the machines. And I love the way that he describes chocolate and the way that I became so passionate about it, I couldn't stay away.
So then you started making all these chocolates. And now it's a long way from making chocolates and then opening up this very famous French chocolatier right here in New York City, Christian Vautier, Le Concept. How did that happen?
My dad has been in the bakery business for the past, I think, 15 years.
Here?
In New York, and then we have one in Jersey.
What's it called?
It's called Hot Breads.
Oh, of course, right.
And we're actually opening one on 28th and Lex on April 1st.
And it's not just Indian breads,
no.
Right? It's breads.
We have breads. We have a lot of Parisian cakes.
Yeah,
and
delicious.
And some tarts. Mm. Very good.
All the goodies.
I'll bring you some next time.
Next time. And even in where you are on Broome Street at Christian Vautier, you also serve, right, a patisserie and all kinds of goodies.
Yes, we actually do.
Do you bake?
We don't bake on premise.
But their baking is done.
Yes, baking is done, and we have lemon cakes that we serve with our jams. Mm. For example, our passion fruit and white chocolate jam that we were talking about earlier. And then we have a pistachio cake and a chocolate cake. And everything that we make on premise is made with Demory chocolate.
Which is very famous,
yes.
Right? It's the best.
And Christian Vautier is a consultant for Demory Chocolates. So he actually goes to Venezuela and helps them cultivate new forms of cacao and tries to bring back old
cacao beans that are sort of
becoming extinct.
Now, explain what's different. When people go to this wonderful shop at 254 Broome Street, they can get patisserie, they can get this famous chocolate jam, or they can get the white truffles or whatever the truffles are. And what are the other things you brought?
So here
What's that?
I have dark chocolate covered hazelnuts.
Famous, right?
And these are so easy. You just pop them in your mouth.
Of course, unfortunately.
It's like a wonderful snacking item, unfortunately.
Because we love all this. And what's in that beautiful long box?
I have here our favorite ganaches. Well, my favorite that I bought for you.
Perfect.
And we have praline. We have a milk chocolate ganache, which we actually just started doing. And it's just as easy to eat these snacking as the hazelnuts, so it's a little dangerous.
And then you have the clusters of puff rice cereal, almonds, and orange peels.
Yes. And then we also have some dark chocolate-covered chocolate crispy cereal.
Oh, it sounds great, and you have to go to try it. It's a Christian Vautier Le Concept. 254 Broome Street, right at Orchard, and that whole neighborhood is so much fun to walk around in. 212-473-3200 and ask for Aditi Malhotra. All the best to you. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much, Joan.
Try it out. I'm Joan Hamburg.
At the table.
You need to look for a high ratio of butter to flour, eggs, and sugar.
At the table with Joan and Fairway.
We love being at the table with Dan Glickberg from Fairway, the Fairway family in Mitchell, London. cook, chef, entrepreneur, Fairway Cafe, which is lovely, and many stores, famous for everything. And he brought me a fabulous apple turnover, which was really is delicious.
John, I'm going to have another one, okay?
But wait.
What? Wait for
eat
what?
Eat it slowly.
Slowly?
Chew it.
Enjoy it? Savor it?
Savor it, because that's meant to be savored.
Who broke off the corner of this one?
I did. I'm guilty. But so don't touch that one. I'm going to break off the other corner and then head for the middle.
Okay.
So I heard you guys are going to desert us for a few days and go off for a great adventure. One of my favorite cities.
Barcelona.
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 Yeah, we're going to Barcelona.
And
food show.
Danny, no one in Barcelona eats dinner before 10 or 11 o'clock at night.
I'm okay with that. Are you, Mitchell?
They're late. I mean, that is crazy late.
They eat really late.
And they linger, right? Long meals?
No one rushes. But again, no one, they're not crazy like we are. You know,
what do you mean?
Get up a little later, relax.
They're on a different schedule.
Go for a coffee once they get up and go to work.
That might be an issue for Mitchell.
A big lunch.
What is it?
Well, actually, lunch is tapas or something. Barcelona is one of it's a fabulous
nice city.
Very exciting. You're going to love it.
I will not
Looking
be going
to
what's the name church? What's the
the Gaudi church?
Yeah, that the one that they haven't finished yet.
Yeah. Why not?
I got issues with it.
That's funny because Joan said that that's one of the places that I have to go.
No, it's under construction. It's nothing but scaffolding.
But
ridiculous. No, from outside it's great. Beautiful, magnificent.
Yeah, inside it's
fabulous.
It's a beautiful city. It's got everything.
Yeah.
Just keep your wallet close at hand.
Okay.
Because in the old part, there's a couple, you know, like any big city, a little pickpocket.
Oh, front pocket with your wallet then.
But it's very busy. And then, guys, we're coming to all the holidays. Easter, Passover,
Pesach.
And you're going to do delicious things for us.
Fried matzah.
What do you mean, fried matzah?
Fried matzah, matzah brine.
Well, you were telling me.
Yeah, delicious.
Would you tell me again?
I made some last week.
You don't have to be Jewish to try matzah brine, right?
Nope.
So what do you do?
You take your matzah, you break it up.
Regular matzah?
Regular matzah, yeah. You break it up, and you pour hot boiling water over it.
Okay.
Let it sit for, what, 3, 4, 5 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
And you take some scrambled eggs, you put them in there, you mix it all up. Good amount of pepper, a little bit of salt. Then you fry in a, you cook in a frying pan, nice hot oil. You let it set. It gets a nice crust. You turn it over. You're done. I eat it with maple syrup and a little jelly.
Preserves. That sounds really
so
nice.
Maple syrup and preserves. What's not going to taste good in that?
No, because there's a lot of pepper. So you got the hot from the pepper and the sweet. Oh,
it
so
sounds good.
If you come, John, I'll make you some fried matzo.
I would like that. I'm telling you, these are things he's bringing back. Childhood dishes. You know, things that I never make. I probably should make them. But you're going to do something for us in a little bit. Give us the recipe for tzimis and explain, T-Z-I-M-I-S, explain what that is, Danny.
Tzimis is very simple. It's kind of like an old stew made with some dried fruit. Dating back outside of the holidays, some people will add a meat to it, like brisket.
Yeah.
To make a whole meal.
You know, like short ribs, or my grandmother
flanken.
Used to call it flanken.
Yeah,
I knew you were going to say flanken.
Yeah, and put it in. But let me just ask you. So you put all this stuff together. Well, we're going to tell you how to do it the next hour.
Definitely.
But where did tzimis come from?
Europe. Has to be from Europe.
Yeah?
Old school,
Persia.
Right, Mitchell?
Persia?
Yeah, it sounds like Persia. And then I believe the Russians adopted it as well.
The Ruskies.
Yeah, because, you know, it's very...
Did I say Ruskies?
Yeah. I went to Passover at Syrian Friends, and it was a totally different meal. Menu. It was fabulous, but very different.
They got very good food in Syria.
Yep.
It was real. No, these people really cooked. They did 2 billion delicious vegetables and all kinds of yummy things. And what I loved, the horosis. And horosis is part of a traditional Passover. And Jews from a certain part of the world make it with apples and nuts. And the Middle Eastern community makes it with dates.
I put dates in mine. I put dates, figs, apples, nuts, cinnamon, honey.
I'm going to order that. from you. Cause
and
that
wine, and you know, red, that kosher for Pesach.
Does that sound good?
So you need the dates and the figs. That's my favorite part.
I love dried fruit.
Yeah.
And I buy at Fairway those mature dates all the time.
Good dates.
So expensive, but I love them. They're really delicious, right?
Good stuff.
Yeah.
You don't love them. Well, you're not a big dried fruit person.
You should
You ever put goat cheese?
Really. You stuff with goat cheese. Very good. Put
young,
it in the oven.
Young goat cheese, right, Mitchell?
Yes, yes. Creamy.
Wait, so you put that in those dates?
Take the pit out.
Yep. Those are the only dates. The other dates aren't as good.
Yeah, look, we're saying low-key diet, not worth it.
Okay.
You stuff with goat cheese. You put in the oven 5 minutes. Luscious.
Oh, my gosh.
Luscious, Joan. Luscious.
Yeah.
He was selling those at the cafe last year. Maybe we'll do them again.
Really?
Yeah. See what mood I'm in.
Well, wait. So, he was selling them for people to take home as an hors d'oeuvre?
No, and you could also have them at the cafe. You could sit down and eat them.
That's a great idea.
We're very accommodating in the cafe.
Snack food. It's almost time for you to whip out the old Donviers, the ice cream machine.
If we can find those, I'll let you know.
That's a good reminder, Joan.
That it's ice cream time.
I'm going to put that into my calendar on my phone.
That it's time for the Donviers.
Yes.
You know, Joan, we're doing Passover for the first time in the cafe.
No.
And we have
I want you to tell me.
36 people coming.
Well, because how would people know about that?
Boy, everything at Fairway is in the very DL, or LD. Which is it?
No, it's not LD, right?
No, it's
a DL. That's somebody else.
How are you doing, Mitchell? People are sitting at tables with their families community?
There's a table of 11, tables of 4, 6,
Your own table.
Your own table.
Yes.
And
they're going to run their own Seder.
They're going to run their Seder.
We're going to give them Haggadahs.
Wait, you're doing Haggadahs? And you're doing the
Seder plate.
Yep.
And the Afikoman.
If you want to bring yarmulkes, though, you're on your own. You have to bring your own.
Yeah.
And what's your menu for this?
Menu. You got your chicken soup with matzo balls. You have your chopped liver, brisket, roast chicken, tzimis, potato pancakes. That's big.
And what are you charging?
Big, baby.
May I be so crude?
$45 for adults, $25 for kids.
Yep.
I don't believe it.
Bargain. Bargain of the week.
No, seriously.
No, what do they call it? Shock.
Wait a minute.
Shock.
Why is it? That's too inexpensive.
Okay. All right. Make that 65. and
well, you know what? It's Mitchell. It's going to be 45 if you just come in. If you mention Joan Hamburg's name when you
it's
65.
Right. Oh, wait, give me the phone number because everyone's going to want to do that. Should have done that for our cue.
212-994-9555. But I think we're almost booked. I think we're almost full.
Well, because you never told me, and you should have.
Mitchell, should they ask for Steve Jenkins?
Well,
Steve Jenkins at 212-234-3883.
Don't do that.
The Harlem store, he wants to hear from you.
No.
He's a little offended no one's called him yet.
Steve is the cheese guy. Don't get him confused. We're going to take a break, and then these two beauties are going to tell you about their fabled tzimis, which is sort of a vegetable dried fruit stew with or without meat. And another thing I haven't had since I was a kid, ambrosia. You can do that anytime.
I love ambrosia.
Stay tuned. We're going to be back with it. I'm Joan Hamburg. We're at the table with Fairway.
Fairway's Recipe of the Week.
Now, we're going to spoil all of you because Mitchell and Dan are going to give you two recipes from Fairway's secret recipe source, Dan Glickberg, Mitchell London, and tzimis. Again, for many of us, it brings back childhood, although it's very popular. Tzimis is, Mitchell, when you make it.
Yeah.
It's carrots, yams.
Carrots, yams, or sweet potatoes. I use yams. It's orange juice, apricots, honey, cinnamon, prunes. You need prunes in there.
Okay.
And that's it.
And some people put meat in it.
Yeah.
If they do that, how do they do that? They cook the meat first?
They got to cook the meat first.
Because otherwise it's too fatty.
Put it in for the last, half hour of cooking.
Okay. And then but I would do it without meat, and it's a fabulous accompaniment.
I've never had it with meat. I have to say, I've never had it purely vegetarian.
Yeah, well, I love it the way it
sounds. This is great for vegetarians.
And I love dried fruits.
So how do you make it?
Well, you told me. You boil the carrots and the sweet potatoes,
right? Halfway.
Right?
You just par cook them.
Okay.
Don't cook them
and
all the way.
And then you take it out.
Right.
And you add the dried fruit, the prunes and the apricots.
Right. Cinnamon.
Add a little cinnamon and some orange juice.
Honey.
And honey. And then you mush it up or you don't.
You know, you mix. You
just
don't want to mush
leave it.
Mush is this. I don't
and
like that.
And cover
mush.
It.
Cover it. Put it in the oven for about an hour.
375.
Take it out.
That's
make
delicious.
Sure it's
done. And you know what? You don't have to have Passover to have that. You could have that. You could even do that Easter. On the other end, if you're going to do a big ham or a lamb, this would be a terrific thing. This is a dish you could serve for any holiday. Really
and like
good.
I said, vegetarian.
Veggie.
It's a vegetarian delight.
Is that vegan, too?
Is it vegan? Yes.
Vegan?
Yes.
Who knows?
Yeah, sure.
Who knows and who?
All right. So tell me about ambrosia.
Ambrosia. This is Elaine London recipe.
Well, yeah. I can't help you with that one.
Elaine.
Yeah, simple.
You never made ambrosia?
No, ever.
Okay, very important. Large marshmallows. Cut them into quarters with the scissors.
Uh-huh.
Mandarin oranges out of the can.
Okay.
I think maybe the only time Elaine ever used can anything.
All right.
Yeah, you drain off the juice, put the oranges in.
Pineapple.
Fresh pineapple cut up.
Oh, it sounds so good.
Sour cream.
You mix it up. Oh, this is good stuff.
Yep. Then you garnish it with the mint and the pomegranate.
Oh, wait. Yeah. So what do you serve that with?
A dessert.
Wait, that's a dessert.
Yeah.
It's not. You don't put it on the table with everything
else.
Joan,
it's marshmallows and pineapple and mandarin oranges.
Yeah,
now, it has to be dessert.
Joan, when you make this, you do want to let it sit for a little bit, right?
All
an
the
hour
juice,
or two.
Yeah.
You cannot use the mini marshmallows because
they're just not big enough.
Well, you need the inside of the marshmallow to mix with the acid from the pineapple, and that makes it
does
luscious.
That sound good.
Joan, there's nothing better than the ambrosia.
I like. All right. You know what? You've given me all these very good ideas. Simmis, you know, what happens is we have so many people, and I cook it. Usually with my cousin, and she can't come this year. So it's like a lot of food for me to drag downtown. We do it at another cousin's loft in Tribeca because we're like almost 50 people.
Danny, Joan needs some simmers.
Okay, so
I do.
Mitchell, you're going to make it,
okay.
And I'll deliver it.
Okay, I'll make it.
You really would?
Yes. How many people are you? How many people?
I'll give you a final count. We're a lot. We always are.
You more than 50?
No, not. We cut it off at that because it's not fun anymore when you're more than
50. Yeah, you don't get to see anybody.
You know, you can't. And my poor cousin in his loft, we set up an enormous horseshoe table. You know, we take the entire loft, just shove the furniture away and do it. But we're a lot. And we have guests coming, believe it or not, from Germany this year. With friends of my French cousins. Everyone is showing up. Jews, non-Jews. So it's an adventure. Okay? All right, I'm happy, guys. Thank you so much for doing this. Have a wonderful trip to Barcelona.
We will, Joan, and we'll tell you all about it when we come back.
Best shrimp. Wait till you're going to be in heaven.
I eat a lot of pork.
Yeah,
but
they do. The ham is really delicious. But everything is good. It's a good food culture. It's a good food culture.
All they do is eat.
What's better than being in a beautiful place,
I'm
eating,
okay with it.
Walking? It's a great walking city. And you go on the restaurants on the water, and they just pull the fish out. Really good. Enjoy, guys, and thanks as always. We've been at the table. And stay tuned, everyone. We've got lots more to come. We're coming up to news and weather. I'm Joan Hamburg.
This has been a podcast from WOR.